It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Nearly 6 months after its creation, the city's Affordable Housing Task Force met for the first time last week. The mission is a basic one: help maintain the integrity of neighborhoods by finding solutions to housing issues. But what can be done to help keep communities affordable? I'm joined now in studio by the co-chair of the task force, City Planning Director Ray Gastel. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
If you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, at essspgh. Ray Gastel, what were the issues, the priorities, the chief concerns that were raised at this first meeting?
Well, we heard a lot of really important issues that were brought up. And one of the reasons that we heard them is because we have a great range of folks on the committee that represent a lot of different issues in the city of Pittsburgh and a lot of different perspectives on housing. A couple of the key things that were brought up was to make sure that we do our community engagement right, that we recognize that there's work going on right now in communities about affordable housing. And that also, for example, that instead of just planning for kind of two outreach meetings, rather make sure that we find a way to get on the programs of the type of community meetings that are already going on. You know, sort of go to the communities rather than, you know, to what they're doing right now, rather than just start from the outside. And that was brought up by a couple of task force members. And I think it was it's something we'd been thinking about, but they really brought it into focus. And, you know, we're going to make sure that we do that.
And what else are you hearing from people just in terms of priorities, what the needs are of the people who are trying to find places that they can afford to live in this city, which is becoming harder and harder to do?
Well, we heard a lot of things that matter. I mean, one thing that we heard that we can only respond to in part, but is that as a task force. But at the same time, we heard the issue that there's urgent issues. You know, there's people facing this, you know, today. And at the same time, we have to, one of the things that we're going to talk about as a task force is, are there things that we can do or encourage or sort of recommend even before we make a final recommendation sort of along the way, because we recognize that. I mean, for, you know, there's a, you know, people are eager to see action vis-a-vis affordable housing, and we're, you know, that's part of the task force's responsibility.
Is there more of a sense of urgency about this because of how much gentrification we're seeing around the city?
I think in certain neighborhoods, that's probably accurate.
Why did it take, somebody might ask, why it took 6 months to create this task force?
Well, I think one of the reasons was to make sure we had the right composition of the task force, to make sure we had the legislation identified a certain spread, but we had to sort of make sure that we had it right. And we now have, I think, about 23 or 24 members of the task force. And I think it really is a nice representation of both government, civics, community. It's in there, and we're really, I think it's a strong group.
And what is the scope of the housing task force? What are all the things that are coming under your umbrella?
Well, the main scope is to come back. You know, one, we need to do sort of a needs and, you know, assessment. Like, what is the situation? Get all the information we have. We need to review the best types of programs at a national level, and then we need to make sure that they're relevant to Pittsburgh. And that's really the foundational task, is to say, like, what's really the situation here? Where are the real needs? And then what are the programs, both ones that we may already have or ones that we look at from a national perspective that are really relevant to our needs here?
So you're still in the process, you feel, of assessing those needs?
You know, there's been some work done, and there's work going on in a variety of ways. But at the same time, we do want to do a new, both a best practices study, sort of a survey, that's underway now. But we also want to make sure that we have, you know, we know what's going on right now.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with the co-chair of the Task Force on Affordable Housing and the City Planning Director, Ray Gastel. If you have a comment or question, if you want to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. What are the chief housing concerns that you have? What are the issues of affordability that you face that you'd like to see someone respond to in a productive way? 412-246-2002. We were interested in hearing your story and about your situation. 412-246-2002. Again, the email, essspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, @essspgh. Are you looking beyond Section 8 rentals and at vacancies? What all will this include, the work that that you're doing? What all will it encompass?
We are looking beyond Section 8, yes. That's a very important issue to be looking at. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of folks that are looking at questions of what type of inclusionary zoning program we might have. I think that there's a different cities have different techniques. I mean, I'm familiar with cities that used incentives as the key means for a long time, in which you would get a developer would get additional height and additional units count or square footage, and in return would guarantee a percentage of the units would be affordable, either on-site or off-site. That's one technique, and that's something that's been used both in the cities that I've worked in, such as New York and Seattle. I think a lot of people are looking now, though, at whether those programs really produced enough affordable units, produced or preserved, I should say, because that's often part of the technique. It's also to stabilize units. And so that's in looking at that, different cities are looking at different programs. Some are looking at linkage fees. Some are looking at zoning requirements, putting it in as sort of a mandatory requirement that affordability be included in new projects of a certain kind.
So kind of like that's what's happening in the Lower Hill District.
Similarly, I mean, I think that there it's in the CSIP, in the community plan there. But it's yes, that's correct.
I'm curious when you talk about dealing with housing issues or looking at what's happening in cities like Seattle and New York, and there probably couldn't be two more different situations than what's happening in those two cities right now, other than that the demand is very high, so it's trying to find enough places for everybody. But what do you learn from looking at those cities that you can apply to Pittsburgh?
There's plenty to learn from those cities. Remember that where Pittsburgh as a whole is still actually, and it doesn't offer any comfort to folks that are facing affordability challenges to read that Pittsburgh actually is relatively affordable compared to most cities nationwide.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't do you any good if you can't find affordable housing, sure, either in the city or in your neighborhood. But we certainly, you know, affordability is, you know, the federal definition of it is 30%. If you're spending more than 30% of your income on housing, you're entering the realm where it's housing's not really affordable for you. And so that could happen at many different income levels. Obviously, it's tougher. You know, the lower your income, the tougher it is to be spending 30%.
Plus, we're seeing a lot more income disparity. We're seeing that wages are just sort of static, but the housing prices are going up. So that's got to be causing a problem, I would think, just when you do the math there.
Well, I think that, you know, listen, some of this, there is some studies on it so far. But again, we want to do it right and make sure we have the numbers right for Pittsburgh. I think that we all know that you can look up the rental prices in certain of our, you know, communities that are getting the most new folks and higher incomes. You can see the prices of rentals are changing there, and you don't need to do a study to recognize that there are people who are going to be put in a position of paying more than 30% for their housing,
and to go somewhere else.
And that's exactly why we want to do this. I mean, one of Pittsburgh's great strengths has been that it has a range of incomes, and that's something that, you know, with Mayor Peduto and with the City Council and my co-chair Councilman Lavelle, we're really eager to see what we can do.
412-246-2002 if you want to join our conversation with Ray Gastill, who is the City Planning Director. We have Eileen in Friendship, who has been waiting to join the conversation. Eileen, welcome. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I've seen a couple of my neighbors have to move out of Friendship because property taxes had increased too much for them, property owners. And I just wondered about how much they're considering the San Diego model for property taxes, where for a homeowner, for their primary residence, property taxes can't go up more than a certain percent, like say 3% a year, so that people don't, when their neighborhood improves, they don't have to lose their neighborhood and their home.
That's certainly an interesting idea. And what about applying that to Pittsburgh, asks Eileen.
Listen, it's something we should look at. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there may be, you know, as always, there may be some state laws and so forth, which are different in different states. But that's absolutely, we should be looking at that.
You're familiar, I'm assuming, with the San Diego model and how it's done out there?
Well, I'm familiar. I don't know a lot about the San Diego model itself, but I do know about programs that, you know, limit increases in property taxes and so forth. I also know programs that work on that in terms of especially for seniors.
What are some of the unscrupulous things that property owners, that landlords and ladies do that you're keeping a particular eye out for?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think
does that play into your purview here?
I think it in the larger picture of what the Affordable Housing Task Force is doing and what it needs to know about and understand, if people are being delivered substandard housing or if they're being evicted in unfair ways and so forth, that's all stuff that we should be aware of. I mean, that's information that we need to know.
Do we know if that's going on here in any particularly profound way, or is that something you're going to have to look into to know fully?
That's something we're going to look into.
So where do things go from here? You've had the meeting. You've heard some of the concerns. You've done at least a pre-assessment of the way things look. So what is the timeline as far as acting on certain things between now and the end of the year?
Well, let me tell you a couple things about that, about where it leads to. One of the things that people, and you asked what happened at the meeting, one of the things people wanted to make sure was that, we want to come up with recommendations, which are something that the city council and or administration can act on, whether you're writing new ordinances or new policies vis-a-vis zoning, et cetera. And that's something that we're all committed to. I think one of the things we talked about at the meeting and we discussed, we haven't come to a final timeline, but I think Councilman Lavelle and I indicated and discussed with folks that we really thought we were looking at probably closer to the end of the first quarter of 2016 than the end of the year, although we're going to see what we can do by the end of the year, but have some clear interim steps. But in terms of the overall project and the original ordinance that was passed to the city council, I think we're going to be looking at, and we'll be asking the council to consider looking at a delivery date that's about 3 months later. We recognize the urgency, but we at the same time, we need to get the full scale of input, information, et cetera, and discussion to get it to the council. Once it gets, let's say, to the council, and then they're working on that, there will be, more participation, of all kinds, this is the first step.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
My understanding was that the deadline for having a comprehensive report was the end of the year. So
that's absolutely correct. But that's part one of the purposes on the agenda of the first meeting was to discuss with people and ask the task force members to consider that we might be able to move that a little bit later.
Because there's just that much more to do.
There's work to do.
Properly assess this.
There's everything from community engagement to the sort of work that some of which will be done, with the studies that all has to be done.
And again, we've been talking with Ray Gastel. He's the city planning director, co-chair of the task force. We may have another call coming in, I think. And so, Ray, if you want to stick around and take that. Again, it's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. You can join the conversation with Ray Gastel at 412-246-2002. Again, 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. If you want to email your comment or question, and again, you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH, the number 412-246-2002. And let's see who we have on the line, if we do in fact have one more caller for Ray Gastel at 412-246-2002, trying to get it up on the screen. And why don't we just go to the phone caller right now? Hi, are you there? Hi, who's joining us now?
Me, David.
David, how are you? You're in Braddock Hills?
Yes.
Okay, it's just popped up on the screen finally. So we got you in under the wire. Go ahead with your comment or a question for...
Well, I have a question about the standards in terms of the tenant's rights. I was wondering about the rights of the tenant. Was that brought up at any moment? Because I know we're interested in terms of the homeowner's rights, but I mean the tenant's rights in terms of I want the tenant to have some rights. In terms of what are the standards also in terms of raising raising our rates midstream in terms of our closing costs. And then also at the end, when we finish or fulfill our lease, they're not giving us our closing costs back. They're charging us extra for this and that in terms of the end of the close. So I'll listen to you guys.
Oh, okay. Now, David, before you go, so what you were talking about at the end there is the deposit that that a renter has to provide to a property owner. Which they hold on to in lieu of possible damages or things that they feel they need to be compensated for at the end of a lease. And also, you also mentioned if a landlord jacks up the price of the rent in the middle of a lease agreement. So what are the rights that the tenant has, Ray? And can a property owner change the terms of a written agreement that's already in place?
You know, this isn't something that has been at the, it's great to hear this, and it's something we should put in the mix of the work of the task force to see if there are any abuses or ways that we can really address this within the framework of state and local law. At this point, I don't have a whole lot to say on that. I mean, I understand that, you know, where there can be frustrations about not getting a deposit back, and there can also be issues. I think that landlords have a right at the end of a lease to raise the rent. But I think that that's, again, I worked and lived in New York for many years where there was rent control or rent stabilization, which in fact set a target for that. I don't know whether that's an ideal response to Pittsburgh's situation. I think there's a lot of other things we're looking at as well, but I think that in the long list of things that are being looked at, that's one of them.
David on Twitter says, how can we incentivize rehab of and promote reinvestment in our existing housing stock, much of which I believe is in affordable neighborhoods?
I think that's a great question. It's something that Mayor Peduto has been very clear about, that this is an important goal here, because one of the things, people in Pittsburgh love their neighborhoods and are eager to see them stabilized and are eager to see, like, the housing stock that's already there reused. And that's something that we are strongly supportive of. There are, you know, some groups doing that right now. I think that when we look at legislation like this or a task force like this, one of the questions is how to bring those to scale, how to increase the numbers of that. Whether you do that through a linkage of housing, which is then of new housing production, which can also meet certain goals through preservation of offsite units. That's one way to do that I'm familiar with. That, you know, when you build a new project, whether through incentives or mandated, you actually can contribute to one way or another to the preservation of units in a neighborhood. And there's a lot of techniques to do that, and we are going to be looking at them.
Has Pittsburgh ever had, going back to what you were saying earlier about rent control and how it's worked in New York, has Pittsburgh ever had rent control? How close has it come to seriously considering having rent control?
You know, that's a historical question, which others may have better answers for than me. I will say that not in recent years. And also, it hasn't had, remember, Pittsburgh hasn't had the same kind of situation as other cities have vis-a-vis rental rates.
Has that changed with just our designation of being, you know, the top 10 most livable? I would think that would be a selling point for some people who are looking to sell off or rent out property. So has the playing field changed somewhat since Pittsburgh became the Portland of the East, for lack of a better analogy?
Well, it's an interesting comparison. I think, you know, but Pittsburgh is a very strong, you know, one of the things I think we have lessons, the nation has lessons to learn from Pittsburgh. It's not just vice versa. But I think that, you know, we're having some problems of success. And we're having those, and those are, we're lucky to have them, so to speak. But at the same time, for the folks that certainly on some neighborhood levels that are facing the changes of increased the housing costs, that's a challenge. So this is a relatively new problem for us, and it's something that, you know, that's why the task force is here.
And last but not least, as long as you brought it up, what can the nation learn from Pittsburgh, do you think?
Oh, I think Pittsburgh has these strong communities, which have, you know, it's one of the situations we have. People don't want to leave their neighborhoods. They don't want to leave their block because they believe in their neighborhood and their block. And it's really that strong neighborhood identity, which is one of the great lessons that the nation can learn from Pittsburgh.
We have been talking with Ray Gastel, who is the co-chair of the Task Force on Affordable Housing, and also is the city's planning director. Again, Ray Gastel, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here in studio.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Still to come, easing the stress of transitioning from high school to college It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.